Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is the Retro Zoo Super Show, and I am your host for today, Kai. We are joined, as always, by our producer, Drum. Drum, how are you doing today?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Wow, I did not notice those lights that you put around your dome. You have a power outlet on your side? Why didn't you tell us that before? That would have been helpful on gigs.
Draining electricity from your drummer during a gig is not wise.
That's probably true. My goodness, yeah. Well, to everybody, welcome first of all to the show, and I hope that you're having a merry Christmas. If you are listening to this as it comes out, I know how podcasts work, and so some of you are listening in July, and I hope you also understand how podcasts work and that they are recorded or at least at a certain time and place. And this time happens to be the week before Christmas. If you are listening to this as it comes out, as this podcast is being dropped, I know some of you have probably already, are already in the midst of traveling. Perhaps some of you are, this is maybe your last day at work and you're getting things, tidied up for the holiday. Some of you are perhaps like me and you get to work, most of the Christmas week. But however you are celebrating, I do hope that you're enjoying the season. This has been one of those seasons with me that like everyone decided they had to plan something with me, like the week of Christmas. That has crowded things quite a bit more than we would have liked. This is actually the first Christmas with Anla and I as married, and we wanted to kind of spend some time going around looking at some Christmas lights, just enjoying some Christmas movies, and everyone had a different idea, and so it's like literally every single day through Christmas from here on out someone has claimed. But we do expect to enjoy all of these things. And so, looking forward to that and kind of looking forward to, the evening of Christmas where things settle down a little bit as well. We have a couple of things to do today. This is going to be our last episode of the year. So there is one Friday left in the year, but we will be taking that off. That is a couple of days after Christmas. Just because of everything that's going on and the lack of time to either set up on Friday to broadcast this live or pre-record anything, we will be taking that week off, but we will be back the very, very, very next week. And we're going to, talk a little bit about what we're expecting from 2020 as far as retro gaming goes. I do enjoy like all my retro game podcasts at this time of year because they end up talking about the games that are going to be released. Because, you know, I mean, retro gamers are typically people who also enjoy modern games. And as you well know, I am not like that. I do not have modern consoles. And so, you know, it's like, you know, when Breath of the Wild came out, I'm like, oh, I'm going to enjoy that in 10 years. Because I don't have a Switch, and I won't for a while. So when we talk about next year, it's really going to be what we plan to accomplish in retro gaming. As far as this year goes, it's been kind of weird, because I've played more video games this year than I have in previous years. And frequent listeners of this show know that I don't play a lot of video games. And this is not for, like, you know, moral reasons, or I've put myself on a timer or anything like that. I would love to actually play more video games, I'm not going to make one of those speeches as like, I'm just so busy and I don't have time. Because most people who say that, it's like life is about choices. And, I have friends who talk about how they don't have time for this and that. And then they keep me updated on their favorite show, which they watch the second it is aired, you know. And so we all make choices of what we want to do. In any given moment. And this year, I ended up deciding to focus more on music. I'm really happy about how the things came out. So, like, at the beginning of the year, I did not know that I would be doing music this intensively. In fact, you know, I actually put some music goals on Patreon that I had to adjust because, some projects that have come up that have been offered to me that I decided that would be very good for me to do have kind of, you know, gotten in the way of that, and that's cool because I get to do music and I get to do it in a slightly different context, but it's been a lot of fun. So, like, I mean the one that y'all really really know about is Dice and Dreary, and we've ended up working more intensely on Dice and Dreary than what we expected. When I first offered to do it, I offered to, like, to do the theme song, and we could double that as the outro. And then I ended up, like, you know, well, hey, what if I do like five songs for just, you know, like a suspense song and like a battle song, and then you could just plug those in wherever you want them, and then that'd be cool. Like, maybe I could release that as an EP or something. And the more we went, I was just running into situations like, man, I really want like a custom song for this scene. And it's grown a lot. And so it won't be terribly long before the second Dice and Dreary soundtrack album comes out. And so we've put just a ton of work into this, and it's been a blast. I started working on a law and crime podcast in defense of liberty that is coming out on the first that I'm pretty excited about. And we're doing a lot of music for that one. And it, I've come to hear a bit of it. And if, you know, this is at all like in your wheelhouse, this is one that you need to check out. So, the preview is out, and, you'll get to hear a little bit of what we're doing in that one. Ravenant, who y'all know, and I have started a podcast, a different podcast called Tuesday Suck. And we did the theme song for that, and so there's just been a lot of stuff, and so it's been fantastic. This isn't a complaint or anything. It's just like, you know, I have decided it's like, well, I had a lot of goals this year as far as gaming went, but as the year went on, I've needed to shift those goals for things that I thought would be. Long-term, you know, better for me, that would be interesting, and it would also be fun. And that's what's happened. And I'm really glad I did, because I've been able to learn a lot musically this year and done some things with music that I didn't think that I would be able to do. And I like at the beginning of the year, I wouldn't have thought that I would be able to do. And so that's been a blast. So, but, you know, that, what does that, where does that leave my goals for the year? And so I'm kind of thinking back, and I did not bother to pull them because goodness, you know, I remember most of them, I think. I'm gonna go off that. Like the speed run goal that I had was playing Zelda 2, and I started learning the speed run on that, and I was actually having a blast. But it turned out to be one that I needed to set aside for. Just for time constraints, because it's like, okay, if I'm going to get good at this, it's going to take a lot of my time, a lot of my time. And I didn't want to use that time in that way right now. And so I still think that would be fun. I think that I would, if things kind of lighten up, I think it would be something I'd like to come to in the future. But at this point, it's not something that I'm really going to be able to do or anything. The one of the first goals was, taking out SimCity, I think was the goal, and I was pretty excited because I did that pretty early on. I spent actually New Year's playing the NES version of SimCity, and you can go back in the podcast history to learn about that, because that was a brand new discovered game that was thought to have been lost for good, but that was discovered this year. And that was a lot of fun to play, and so I was playing that, and I was like, I really need to go back to SNES SimCity, because that's something I put a lot of time in, but I never actually beat. And so I did beat that one. One of the goals was to play the After Years for our series on the After Years, which just ended. This was the Final Fantasy After Years game. I did not think we were going to go into Interlude, which we're going to talk about a little bit later today. So do stay tuned if you're here for Final Fantasy IV in the Interlude, that we are going to hit that here pretty soon. I've gotten a lot farther into this game, so I'm wrapping up the Blue Planet segment now, but it does not look like I'm going to get to finish the game this year. But I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I have not gotten back to Phantasy Star, which once I wrap up Final Fantasy is what I want to tackle next, because I've gotten so far in that game, and I know I'm like I could taste the ending now, but I just need to get back to it and wrap that one up. But again, probably not going to be this year. And so I've set some super meager goals for myself and just failed on all fronts. So like I said, one of those things was, you know, music kind of getting in the way of it. But one of the other things is a couple of games that I did spend a lot of time playing and very much enjoying, but were not on my horizon this year. So in past episodes, we discussed playing a bit of Heroes of the Storm, and I that's not really a game you can beat. You can just get better at it. It's you know, just a, you know, multiplayer battle, I really, really enjoyed. I really did enjoy my time in that game. Ended up thinking it's like, okay, you know, I'm enjoying this, but there are other games that I could also be enjoying that I could, you know, get wiped off my backlog. And that's probably if I'm gonna sit and play a game, I probably should be, you know, hitting one of those, or at least a game that, you know, I'll be reviewing for the podcast itself. I haven't played that in a while, but I was also loaned Bravely Default. And, you know, first of all, Wes, thank you for loaning me that game. I've really been enjoying it. I think we might do a review of this game on the podcast. But I started out, I just absolutely just adoring this game. Like, this was a great game, real kind of, old Final Fantasy throwback, game, you know, with really extensive job system. A lot of really cool features, back to the Four Crystals type of an idea, and just really, really enjoying it. There's, you know, it's very customizable. The way you fight, there's just so many different ways to approach it, as the jobs kind of mount up and all your abilities change. It's a lot of fun. And I hit this part, and without giving spoilers, I think people who played it are going to know what part I'm talking about. But it's just, it's well, I think it's more than half, well over halfway through the game, but you know, you hit a point and things start to change, and I just hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I was really struggling to get the energy to push past that. But, I set it aside for a while, and now I'm coming back to it, and I'm like, okay, I think I can blow through the rest of this. In the meantime, I liked it so much that I bought the sequel Bravely Second. I'm like, great, this is cool. I'll take a look at this. And then, you know, if you've been paying attention, one of the news items is they just announced the sequel to Bravely Default 2, which, you know, is a problem that Japan has with numbering things. Some of us were joking online that this is apparently Bravely Default 2, Bravely Second Third. And I, you know, without knowing the plot of this new game, I'm not sure exactly what makes this. I don't know if this is supposed to be like a proper sequel, and Bravely Second is not. I have not played Bravely Second yet, so I don't know if they're going to start considering this a side quest or something, or just a side story. I don't know. But it's interesting that, you know. Well, you know, we kind of make fun of like the older games. To have the kind of weird numberings, and a lot of it had to do with what is released where and that sort of thing. But the very classic example of this is Wonder Boy 5 Monster World 3. In America it was just Wonder Boy and Monster World, which makes a lot more sense. But you know, how that came about is a story for a different time. But, you know, we just went through the series on Final Fantasy IV, which, you know, we first saw as Final Fantasy II. And that sort of thing, was rampant, right? And and some of it can get really goofy. But, every time we think that was like part of the past, something like this pops up, that we now have two sequels for Bravely Default. Both of them are, you know, called number two. And, we'll see what happens with that. That's kind of the games that I've been playing, and I've been really enjoying them. Like I said, I've gotten to play more games this year than I did last year. And this was fun for me, because, I'm someone who loves these games quite a bit. But I'm also someone who doesn't play a lot of them, not nearly as much as I want. And that's, again, not being someone to complain about lack of time or something. It's just that I want to do other things, more, stuff like creating music or shoot, doing this podcast is something that I love, absolutely love doing, and it does take time. But I'm hoping that trend continues. The other thing I got to do more of this year than I have really ever in the past is role-playing games. And most of that has been because of Dice and Dreary. Because we've got to make episodes. We've got to play, but I've also got to, I started dungeon mastering two separate other games. And this is something that I've absolutely had a blast doing. And so I'm trying to kind of strike a balance in my free time. on, like, oh, can I, you know, prepare for a role playing game or play some video games, and I'll do whichever one is more pressing at the time, or is just something that I really want to do at the time, and so I'm you know, kind of splitting the time that way, but having an absolute blast doing that. And so hopefully sometime in the future, we're going to do an episode on taking what Dragonlance, which is one of the games that we're doing, taking Dragonlance, which was originally a first edition game, and turning it into a fifth edition game. And if you follow Technofunkball on YouTube, and please do, we've posted quite a few videos about this, about how I'm modifying the game and how I'm setting it up to run it. That has been a lot of fun, and I think could be helpful if this is something that, like, if you just want a perspective on how to think through these things. There's so many ways to do that, but you know, trying to find a way to take that's going to be a lot of fun for the players, and also of course for me. And so that's kind of one of the things that we're doing. And I've also this year really slacked off on streaming, that I'm trying to restart. And so right now trying to start streaming at least once a week, but we'll kind of talk more about that as far as goals in the future. But, we do have a game that we're going to review today, and it's not a very long game. This is Final Fantasy IV Interlude. And so this game, I beat it in 2.5 hours. It was not, obviously not very long. This is possibly the shortest JRPG ever. Goodness, my speed run of Dragon Warrior was twice as long as this. And so there's not a ton that happens in it, but we are doing our series on Final Fantasy IV. And so while we're here, I think we need to hit this game. So you'll remember from the previous episodes, and there's a reason that I'm doing this after reviewing the After Years, and we'll get into that as the plot goes on. But first, just like my general reactions to it, a little bit of how this came about. So they did Final Fantasy for After Years as we were, and once it was done, because they did release it episodically. But once it was done, they compiled it and released it in more places, and as part of the PSP release, they made this like connecting chapter in between Final Fantasy IV and the After Years. So Final Fantasy, so this is like a year after Final Fantasy IV and like 16 years before the After Years, thereabouts. It's a direct prequel to the After Years. The adventure they go on is connected to what happens in the After Years. But they use the original Final Fantasy IV engine on it. Like if you play the After Years, you can tell, like, there's a lot, it looks like Final Fantasy IV, but if you open up the hood, it's different down there. And so there's a lot of different ways things play out, a lot of different features to it, and how things work. But this is just straight Final Fantasy IV engine, just reused all of the graphics and stuff. There's not really any that I could tell. I don't think there's any new assets at all in it. We were going to use the same music. We're going to use the same characters and the character sprites, and just kind of make a new adventure for it. And so my initial impression of it is just, it's fine. It's a game. You can play it. It's not much. It's not, there's nothing to it really. There are plot points, and I understand that they're trying to kind of connect things and try to try to explain a couple of things, and we'll get into what some of the things they're trying to explain. But you know, some things they're trying to clarify, like in the original After Years, Cedor is listed as 17 years old. Well, this is 17 years after Final Fantasy IV. And so, you know, unless Rosa is like 6 months pregnant in Final Fantasy IV, that's not realistic, right? But this is a case. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, well, that was a mistake. Cedor's really like 15 in the After Years, and so there are some kind of little corrections for that, but a lot of it is just stuff that we really didn't need explained. That, I mean, it's just, it's very clear what happened. And so we don't need things that are filled in at all on this. And so why don't we take a break and then we'll get to the plot of the game. And this is a 2.5 hour game. And so we will be doing spoilers. We're going to go through the entire game. I would say that if you are just a diehard fan of Final Fantasy IV, and I would say even a fan of the After Years, to check it out for fun. You know, if you have a lazy afternoon, it won't take you long to beat it. If you did not like the After Years, you should not play this because it's not as good. If you didn't like Final Fantasy IV, you shouldn't play any of these games because this is not something you're going to like. I don't want to say it's a bad game. It's fine. There's no reason to have made it is the big problem. There's nothing profound about it. There's nothing that's deep about it. Like, one of the things with Final Fantasy IV and the After Years is just the characters and ideas they're playing with are really really well thought out and really deep. And this just does not have it. This doesn't have that at all. And so, you know, and I would also recommend if you want to play these games to play the After Years first. Cause there's no reason to play the interlude first. It's like the stuff it reveals are nothing things. I think they're much cooler to be experienced in the After Years, which is just a far superior game anyway. I would check out the After Years first. And especially if this is not something, if you can't get through the initial slog of the After Years, cause there is, you know, if you listen to the review, there's a massive initial slog to it. It was one of the real flaws of the game. If you can't make your way through that, you're not going to make your way through this game. Cause this is a 2.5 hour game of really nothing. Except, going to do a thing and then immediately forgetting about it, apparently. Cause then you're so surprised when things turn out differently, you know, 15 years from now. So let's take our break. So now hang out during the break. Okay. Because, we are going to be, playing a Christmas song that we perform for the Dice and Dreary podcast here. The song is available at the Dice and Dreary Patreon. We also have it up on YouTube, but I did want to share it with y'all because we'll have it up this weekend on the Technofunk Boy Patreon. So patrons, this is our a Christmas song that for y'all. So when you get that email, please be sure and drag it and grab it. It's kind of a melancholic Christmas song is the way I've been describing it, and it was a lot of fun to make, and I'm really pleased with how it turned out. So please do stay tuned to that, and that way you can hear that. And then when we come back, we will jump into the plot of Final Fantasy IV: The Interlude.
Thank you.
And welcome back. I hope that you enjoyed that. We are going to be moving ahead. Final Fantasy IV Interlude. As mentioned before, this was about a year after the events of Final Fantasy IV. And so, you know, Zeromus is defeated. The Second Moon is seconded itself on out of here with Golbez aboard. And Cecil, who you'll remember at the end of Final Fantasy IV, has married Rosa. He has a dream of Rydia entering a crystal chamber, you know, and they all look the same, so I'm not sure we can really tell which one. And there's a voice that says, you know, something like, "Hey, this are cool. This has a new form," and then it begins to reveal its identity to Cecil when Rosa wakes Cecil up. And, you know, come on, Rosa, that probably would have saved us a lot of time in the after years if you haven't done that. But they are on the way. They're going to go over to Damsian to the castle's been rebuilt. And so Edward is gathering everybody who's, you know, taking a big part of that, you know, meaning our people, to celebrate that and to, you know, kind of, you know, just have a little party, that this massive undertaking has been accomplished. And so they are, they're going to head over in that direction, on the slowest airship on the face of the planet. Now you will notice in this game, and honestly, there's no reason for this, and therefore it is irritating. The airships go remarkably slow, like frustratingly slow. And you're not even driving. You're just heading over to Damsian, which from Baron is not very far, you know. That's essentially the third town you reach as you're walking away from Baron in the first game. I know they're doing this so they can add other things in to, you know, so that you can have other things going on at the same time. But wow, it's like, it is actually irritating. But we cut over to the Fey March, where Rydia is also preparing to leave, and there's not a ton that happens there. At Damsian, so a lot of the people that we would expect there are there. Palamporum with the Elder of the City is there, and Epopt is there, and Harley is there. I don't think she's actually named in this game. There are some like cameos from characters from the after years, like a couple of Edge's ninjas do show up there, but they aren't named. They're just there for you to recognize. But we find out that some of the Fabulish monks, the monks from Fabul, have been attacked on Mount Hobbs, and so we've got to go investigate. And so, of course, you know, Russ and Cecil are like, yeah, we got to do that too. And they go, to help, and they are attacked by the dad bomb instead of the mom bomb. In the same place that the mom bomb was, which is kind of funny, but it is essentially the exact same fight. And so they find out there, once they get over to Fabul, that Yang's wife Sheila is going into labor with their first child. So everybody's shocked, and everybody's like, "Yang, why'd you go to this party when your wife is in labor?" And he's like, "I don't know, you know, whatever. I'm gonna go train with my monks." And they're like, "Yang, your wife is about to give birth. It's fine. Everything's gonna be fine." So anyway, you go in there to help out Sheila, and Yang eventually shows up, and they let Cecil be the godfather and to actually name the child, and he names her Ursula. And so they're about to go back when Cid arrives there with Palamporum and Luca. And they tell us that the sealed cave in the underground is like, you know, blowing up with monsters and stuff. And so you go down with You're about to go down when Rosa starts feeling ill, and so we leave her behind, and you go down with Palom and Porom and Cid into the sealed cave. This is one, like, there's not many actual dungeons you fight through on this. Like, Mount Hobbs is one, it's pretty short. The sealed cave is large, and it's mostly large because all of those doors, you know, are open up in the trap doors, which immediately kill, you know, in round two will kill a member of your party. They were similar from the first game. And so things just take time down there. While you're doing that, you find out Edge is in Eblin still, and he's about to leave. You end up going through the sealed cave, and you get to the crystal chamber, and you find Rydia there, in right in front of the crystal. When she wakes, she doesn't remember any of this stuff. She tells us, like, hey, something's calling out to me. We need to go there. And they're like, okay, sure, that's fine. And so you start heading over to the Tower of Babil. And we cut back over to Edge, and he notices that the Tower of Babil has flashed to life very briefly again. And so he goes to the Eblin cave to go inside and to investigate. And so you start heading over to the tower, and the dwarves have sent their tanks there to, you know, shoot at it, I guess, again. And y'all go inside. So one thing that you're going to notice is that Rydia is acting weird. In battle, I mean. First of all, she's super fast. Super fast. Like, she will normally be the second one to go in battle after Cecil. Which, you know, with the twins there, and I forgot, Cid has been left behind. But with the twins there, you know, that's odd. She's a lot faster than the twins. She's also stronger than the twins. But physically, not mentally. Her stats as far as her her magic use goes are actually fairly low, and Palom, like, is just head and shoulders a better magic user than she is. You also notice that all of her Eidolons are gone, which should alarm. So, you know, it's like it's just kind of a cool mechanic of the game that they communicate that something is wrong. Not just with her acting goofy, but her actually physically acting different in battle than she did in the original game. I think it was kind of a cool thing. So, anyway, you start climbing up the tower, and every floor you get to a boss, and when you beat that, it's an elemental boss. It's not the Eidolon itself, but it is an elemental boss. But whenever you beat that boss, you get that element's Eidolon. So you end up regaining, you know, Shiva, Ramu, Ifrit, and Titan. And so, you know, you start working your way up, and you eventually get to a point where it's in one of the control rooms, and Rydia goes inside, but the others are blocked by a boss, some big robots. And this is where Edge swoops in and, you know, helps out, and he is really good. And it's really hard. And so he's a welcome member of the party, considering that the party has been very dependent on magic up until this point. So when you get inside the control room that Rydia went into, she's gone. So you continue to go upstairs, and you reach, you eventually reach Rydia. And so everybody's concerned, but Edge is immediately like, that's not Rydia. That's a clever disguise, but that is not Rydia. And she attacks you, and she what this boss fight is, and it's kind of a fun one, is that she summons the four Eidolons that she got one at a time, and you have to face off against them. And so none of them are particularly strong, but you've got this all one battle, and she just keeps summoning them until she finally summons Bahamut. And then you're like, wait a minute, you didn't have that. And Bahamut immediately mega flares you, and you know, you were not prepared for that. But as she does, the real Rydia shows up and brings Bahamut to his senses, regains Bahamut, and then you fight against this woman, and whoop up on her. These fights are not ridiculously hard. I didn't spend any time like level grinding in this game. You know, as long as you're not running from battles, you're more than leveled enough. And the fight against her was not very hard. In fact, I was trying to do a twin cast, just because I hadn't seen it in this game, and the twins got these. This equipment that both of them wear, and it says that if both of them are wearing it, then it will unlock their ultimate damage. And I was like, oh, I want to see this. This might be cool. It's probably under Twin Cast. So I'll twin it, and I didn't even get to it. So I didn't even get to see it because the battle was so short. Once you hit a certain point, the woman will weaken, but then vanishes. And she reappears in this crystal chamber, presumably, you know, right here. And she goes into one of the crystal bays while she's saying that the Eidolon system is complete. And that's kind of it, you know. When we get back to Baron, we find that Rosa is fine, but she is pregnant, and that's pretty much it. There's an after credit sequence where Kane is starting to hear a voice on Mount Ordeals, and that's the preface. You know, that's of course, if you've played the After Years or if you heard our review of it, that's one of the main destructive forces events that happens in the After Years, is that Kane is able to enter the mirror room of the stone monument and loses that fight. And so all in all, that's kind of where we are. This seems to, it just kind of seems to want to foreshadow a few things, like the importance of the birth of Ursula, of course, and also that Cedor is on his way. And it kind of corrects the Cedor's age. I feel like somebody wanted to explain why Cecil mistakes the mysterious girl for Rydia in the After Years. And that might be why it's like, oh, well, they're actually taking the form of Rydia. But I didn't get that impression from the After Years. That event was, I think, was more about, you know, I mean, she has similar colored hair as Rydia. Not really. It's kind of a blue green, rather than more of a solid green. But, I think that was more of, you know, hey, like, there's a girl that's riding Bahamut, which is Rydia's Eidolon, you know. you kind of assume that's Rydia. So I didn't take it to being that the mysterious girl looks like Rydia, because she really doesn't. I understand these are sprites. These are not like super detailed characters. And so you can't like compare nose shapes and all that good jazz. Right. But I feel like part of this game was like to explain, it's like, well, this is why the mysterious girl looks like Rydia. And I'm sitting there playing it going, wait, does she? I didn't really get that impression that she was a twin of Rydia or something. And then the last part is, foreshadowing Kane, you know, finally hearing the voices and going to the stone monument, you know, but that kind of undercuts what happens in the After Years, because one of the important things is Kane has been there for 17 years and trying to figure out, you know, how to purge himself and you know, be be as solidly a good guy as Cecil is. But for him to hear a voice in the first year of that, it really kind of undercuts that, like that story. You know, now it's not Kane has been incredibly disciplined, but simply cannot figure this out, does not have, you know, has not reached the spiritual maturity to pun intended, make this leap into becoming a holy dragoon that is renewed, rebirthed, and forgiven. But it's not that anymore. Now it's, hey, yeah, he's been getting clues for 17 years, and now he's putting them together. And that's a whole different story. It also kind of undercuts the plot of the after years, where you start seeing these mysterious girls, and Cecil never at any point goes, you know what? I remember, you know, about the right before Theodore was born, that we met up with this girl in the Tower of Babel, and we never figured out what was going on with it. But she took the Eidolons too. I wonder if these two are connected. You know, that never happens. And so instead of making this like, you know, some new crisis that has befallen them, now it's actually a very old crisis that they just haven't made any headway on in 16 years. And then, of course, you know, you have the births of the kids, and it's like, okay, well, that's great, but we kind of figured out how that happened. I mean, that's not that big a deal. It does somewhat undercut Yang's story, because Yang was, in the after years, Yang is somewhat distant with Ursula, but it's for a purpose, and it might not be one we agree or disagree with, depend, you know, whatever the case may be, but it is one that we can understand. But Yang in this game is being distant for just like this weird kind of, you know, emotionally fearful reason. And I haven't gotten that vibe from Yang in any of the other games. And so I felt that was weird. And it was almost like, you know, the person who wrote that segment, like, played half of Yang's tale in the after years, and it's like, oh, I get him. He's like, you know, he doesn't really want to be a father, and he's, you know, he's emotionally distant and all this other stuff, without playing it till the end where he starts realizing why Yang is doing what he's doing, and is not because he doesn't love his family or it's not because he doesn't want to be there for his family. It's actually quite the opposite. But that's kind of the impression we get. And so, yeah, all in all, you know, it's like the Tower of Babel in this game is fun. There's a pretty cool boss rush when you're, first of all, gathering the Eidolons, then you fight the robots, and Edge appears, and then the last fight is not overly hard, but fighting against the Eidolons themselves, and then, you know, getting Rydia and fighting against this girl who's pretending to be Rydia. These were cool and memorable. The sealed cave was not overly fun. Be honest, it, you know, with all those trap doors, it just felt tedious. And you know, the whole segment with, you know, Sheila about to give birth, and we have to take Yang back because he, you know, he left the country for a dinner, you know, in another kingdom, you know, when his wife is 9 months pregnant. It's just, it's weird. And then all the airship trips are all on rails. You can't control the airship in this game, and they're all super slow. And that it's honestly very frustrating. And so, you know, at best, this is like this is a game to pass some time. If you just really loved Final Fantasy and you want to check it out, I don't imagine it'll be one that I ever play again. Whereas, you know, Final Fantasy IV I've replayed several times. And while I haven't quite beaten Final Fantasy IV after years, it is something that I can see myself very eagerly coming back to, possibly multiple times. It was a lot of fun. That's it. I mean, that really is it. I mean, this is a 2.5 hour game. It's essentially three dungeons, and one of them being very, very short, and mini bosses packed into those three dungeons. Gonna get very, very mixed reviews for me. And at the end of the day, it's just not necessary. There does not need to be a bridge between Final Fantasy IV and the after years. The after years made everything very, very clear as to what has happened in the meantime and the relationships of everybody and how all of this is working out. The after years was very, very clear on that. And so we don't need anything kind of filling the gaps. So that being said, we will be departing for the rest of the year. This will be the last episode for the year. So I do hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will be back on the Friday after New Year. In the meantime, the song you listen to on during the break will be available on our Patreon page this weekend. And so patrons at the Moot Music level and up will be able to get access to that right away. We'll upload it onto YouTube as well, so you can, if you'd like to listen to it again, on the Techno Funk Boy channel. But please do check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/technofunkboy. One of our main goals as a channel, besides just to grow, is to stop losing money on this podcast. Let me be clear, this is something that we've happily lost money on for the first 2 years of the program, because it is something that we really love doing, and we love playing these games and talking about these games and just having fun here. And so and we're also not talking about hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars a month. It's pretty much just the cost of hosting the podcast. We do occasionally run advertisements, you know, based on special events or some stuff that we have, but we'd actually like to do more of that. We would like to, be able to do more, on several things on the show. And so if you do find value in the show and you look forward to it every week and you are able to, I would ask you to, please help support the show, by giving us money every single month without fail. If you can't, we want you to stay. We want you to be here. We want you to be in the Discord and continue to hang out with us. We're not mad at you or anything else, but it would help us out quite a bit, and so that we can keep doing the show without incurring these regular costs that we are incurring now. And so again, that's patreon.com/technofunkboy. Do have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will catch you in 2020.
Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for Music.
If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and human play clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. And once you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can gain later.